And so here we are, live on the internet radio through BBS. My name is Gijs Minderhout, calling from Magalia, California. This is the Monday evening conference call. And the topic, as far as I know, is about information regarding Jesus through the Quo sessions from Carla Ruckert. At least that's what I noticed in the email that Wynn sent out. And we are waiting for our dear host, Wynn Free, to be present here shortly. This is Monday, January the 18th, 2016. This is, as usual, a simulcast for the conference call. We have several people here, and if we had more people join in, every time you hear a ding, it's another participant coming in the call. Welcome to those folks, and if you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Jane, welcome. How are you?
Okay, pretty good.
All right, good
Catherine
to have you.
From California.
Who is this from California?
Catherine.
Catherine, hi, Catherine. Welcome to the call.
Hi, thank you.
All
Marilyn
right.
Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Hello, Marilyn Kay. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hello.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, Ron.
Are you
hi,
cold
everybody
up there?
Else.
All right. We are 1 minute away from the hour and waiting for the helicopter to show up.
It should be here shortly. Hi.
Hello, Terry. I knew you were here. How are you?
Good.
All right. Great to have you, Terry. Thank you so much.
Sneaked in there.
Right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
All right. This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
All right.
Hello. Hi, Don.
Hi.
And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hello. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Is this the free man?
Hello.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Is that Terry there as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here.
All right. Okay.
And we are live on BBS Radio. Welcome all those folks on BBS. Thank you for being here. It is just past 6. Wynn, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that everyone is here who's here.
Positive greetings, Wynn.
Hey, Raiden. Hi, Raiden.
Hi, Terry. Positive greetings.
Thank you.
Raiden's got one of the most distinctive voices on the planet. Raiden, are you ready to give us a lecture?
I guess so.
I'm getting you to be step out. All right, hang on. You don't have. That was far enough. Okay, here we go.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Your sound is Maximino's, Wynn.
My what?
The sound is Maximino's.
Maximum?
Yeah, now it's better, actually. Now we're muted. Let me first turn the things off.
All right. Testing.
All right. Speak up again, Wynn.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. How is that?
Doing well.
Okay. All right, here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, everybody. It's January 18th, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Sedona and everyone everywhere. And you know, we have a very ongoing connection with Jesus. And I would imagine as far as spirituality goes, Jesus has been the biggest icon in the history of recorded humanity, or humanity's recorded history. And there's certainly a connection that we have established on these calls with the work of Jesus. You know, we are not anywhere anything traditional Christians. At least I'm not. Somebody might be. And but to the best of my discernment, Jesus definitely existed. We've done various calls on Jesus. We've had Terry Friedman, who we have the case is the reincarnation of one of Jesus's disciples, Matthew. And I keep getting more stuff on Jesus. And, you know, the way that I get stuff is a little bit through channeling, and probably more through internet searches and seeing what comes up. And then, you know, either I will confirm something to our sources, or I might ask them something, and they might answer me. And they may not. They may say, check back with us later. They do that all the time. And everybody knows Carla, and, you know, Carla passed away in May, but she was my co-host for quite a few years on our Sunday call, and she has made one of the greatest contributions on the planet in terms of the raw material. You know, people are trying to figure out, okay, what's going on? How does this all work? Who's on the other side? Who's God? Who is Jesus? What's karma? Blah, 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 blah. How do we get out of this? I want to graduate, you know. And we're all running around like a bunch of screaming knees, you know, thinking that the next bit of information is going to be the information that will break the bank. And maybe it will. You know, some of you, I know, I watch you guys really quite carefully. And I know how some of you come on the calls and it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 months, a year, and suddenly something clicks. And I can't explain how it works. It's just like the right piece comes into the puzzle. And then it's not about the knowledge. Something in you goes into a greater state of peace and a greater state of connection with the universe. And I think if you're coming to these calls, everyone who's coming to these calls wants that. I mean, it's a heck of a carrot that is being held out here. I'm not holding it out. I mean, the carrot is we have this group soul that created the universe, and they're here on the calls, and they make themselves very available, and they say we can connect with them, and that many of us have connected with them. And we have the Ra group who came through Edgar Cayce and Jesus and more on the calls, and they say we can connect with them, and we're all listening and saying, yeah, man, okay, where's the connection? Give me the connection. And some of you are making it. And, you know, the trick about this, as I see it, is when we think of making a connection, we think of how it would be, well, come on, sit down, have coffee with me. Let's talk about it. And it's not the way they are. They connect this part of you. They connect as an expanded aspect of yourself. And there's a mystery to it. It's like, I'm telling you that you have this huge, huge band of beings around you that are coming in and surrounding you, and you are connected. You don't have any karma. You know, all the things you think you have, you're creating by thinking them. I mean, it's not that simple, unfortunately. It is and it isn't. And you know, everyone is concerned about themselves. And in any case, Jesus is a big part of the mystery here. Jesus, who, you know, we have this amazing connection with Terry Friedman. We have Carla Ruckert, who used to go to church every Sunday. We have Jerry Brown, that used to be a Catholic saint. I won't tell you what I was. Too much to handle. But in any case, I found a Quo channeling. Now, we very rarely mention Quo. That's Q-U-O that Carla did in, let me see here, I think it was 1986, all right? And to explain Quo was, okay, Ra, we know who Ra was. Ra was a group soul made up of graduates in a very high dimension compared to us that was working through Edgar Cayce, working through Carla Ruckert, working through David Wilcock. And the Carla Ruckert Quo session, the Carla Ruckert Ra sessions happened during the period of 1981 through 1984. And when Carla's channeling partner died, Don Elkins, she either couldn't or didn't want to channel Ra. Ra was too much. Ra was too catalytic. And Carla was getting negatively attacked during her period of channeling Ra. So the key to channeling these group souls is creating a bridge from here to there. And you guys may not fully cognize this, but when we call in the light and when we bring in the energies and we make a group energy, we are creating a bridge. We are creating, as a group, a bridge which projects into higher dimensions, which is visible. Early on, Elohim said, we see you. We see those of you that can project through the veil like bright, shining something or another. But they can see us. And when we project our energy through the veil, we become visible to them. So it's a group energy that creates the connection to a group soul. And Carla was well aware of that. They told her that it was the group energy between Don Elkins and Jim McCarty that was working to project through so she could bring through the raw material. And when Don Elkins died, then she couldn't do it. She didn't do it. And so what they did on the other side, what they say they did, this is really fascinating. It's an insight into how all of this works. The Ra group was the highest of all the energies. And, you know, as far as I can tell, the Elohim is higher than the Ra group. But as far as the Carla Ruckert sessions were going, the Ra group was very high. And now they made a coalition on the other side of two stair-step groups to bring the raw energy into Carla's space in a more homogeneous way. And that new energy was called QUO, Q-U-O. And I believe it was the raw group at the top. It was another group called LAWI in the middle, and an individual being, I forget his name, okay, Hatan at the bottom. And so the QUO readings were easy to understand. The QUO readings were loving and not nearly as catalytic as the raw material. Now, I liked the raw material. I liked the directness of it. But, you know, for many of us, that level of directness is too much. And so it's like the QUO material is slightly, how would we say it, blunted. You'll see. I'm going to read some of this, because this is one that I found, and it was what they did is they did this at Carla's house every Sunday, and they would come up with a group question. And December 14th, 1986, has to do with the season, more specifically, the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, and whether there may be any discrepancies in the time, place, and what he had to teach. And a couple of side queries along the lines of virgin birth, how it was accomplished, and the meaning of Christmas to Jesus. Now, you know, we've come up with a lot of stuff about Jesus ourselves, and both through other sources, through Jerry Friedman, to our sources, to my research. And so I'm going to read this. I'm going to stop and explain things. So in case anything feels to me that it might confuse you, I will stop and say, here's how I understand what they're saying there. I am QUO, and I greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, in whose name and in whose service we answer your call. We greet each of you this evening and thank you for the privilege of being allowed to share our thoughts with you. We urge you as always to remember that we offer our personal opinions and beliefs, not infallibility. Therefore, listen to us in goodwill, but lay down those thoughts that do not seem helpful. We find that in speaking about the subject of Jesus Christ, we must be more careful than usual to guard against infringement upon free will. For this entity is Carla, is centrally important to some of those present, and we wish our words not to be stumbling blocks, nor to be paths into an unproductive wilderness, but rather helpful disclosures for neutral information. There are some levels of understanding above that which you in third density enjoy, which are necessary to grasp the full nature of Jesus Christ. For you who seek this entity shall be in part a mystery to the conscious mind, not because there was an intention to be mysterious, but because the nature of Christ is a mystery. We take this somewhat slowly as we are working with this instrument for a more delicate balance with less control from us and more surrender from this instrument, which enables a lesser amount of energy to be adequate for transmission of adequate thoughts. This will eventually, we hope, enable the instrument to work at a deeper level while still conscious. The entity known as Yeshua, whom the Greeks called Jesus, or rather Jesu, was born closely upon the heels of midsummer. Very few years before that year suggested by your histories, approximately 5.5 years. We believe that this is correct measurement. We only may say it was in the middle of the seventh month. We are sorry, but your numbering does not make enough sense to us. We understand your moons, but not your numbers. We cannot speak about what this instrument calls the virgin birth and invoke the law of confusion, saying that each new soul first awakened to its perception of itself as an eternal being has experienced virgin birth. The event was difficult. The birth was indeed humble, though brightened by an optical illusion, shall we say, the most unusual configuration within the heavens, which caused there to appear to be for some of your months an unusually bright cluster of light in the night sky. Now, you understand, when they say, when they're asking about the virgin birth, they do not want to answer it. And one of the things about Jesus is there's a lot of people that are using the conventional story of Jesus, which includes the virgin birth, and they don't want to disrupt people who use a more conventional belief system that may have holes in it, but they don't want to take away the baby with the bathwater. In other words, okay, so if somebody wants to believe it's a virgin birth, so what, even if it's not? If somebody wants to believe this, so what? It doesn't matter. And in this case, the person's connection to the higher realms is more important than getting the facts right. Although in some cases, getting the facts right is very important. And in this case, they do not want to... They're invoking what they call the law of confusion, saying that's got to be left a mystery. The combination of the Christ with the serviceable life channel was powerful, and many psychic events occurred before and after the event, as well as at the time of it. Astrologer kings did indeed journey following the star. However, the arrival was approximately a year and a half later. That indeed is a spiritual adventure you would do well to ponder as you approach your own stable, looking for the newborn guided by hope, the brightest star of your being. The entity Jesus was loved and loved in return, but his mind drove him to be alone. For though too young to have established to his own satisfaction the nature of his being, he had tremendous hunger for wisdom. He would call this entity a child prodigy. The entity taught many, many, many more things than are written and could continue teaching for an eternity. Yet what has been recorded is typical enough of the teaching's content in general that we do not choose to take this opportunity to adjust the teachings that are recorded. It is not only that there is some infringement upon free will, although that is part of our caution, we also wish not to sway those who have become interested in the Christ and alter their viewpoints. For a moment apart, any writings about the Christ, there is the Christ, and that which this teacher, channel, and representative of the Creator called the Holy Spirit, call it what you will. There are many, many avenues in which Christ speaks to each whenever the inner ear is opened and the ear harks, not listening passively, but leaning forward and truly Hawking. The concept of the Christ was this, that intelligent infinity, as experienced by the Logos and with the bias of the Logos, would enter a third density experience. Okay, now, intelligent infinity, the Logos would be, I would imagine, the one infinite creator, and that the aspect of the one infinite creator would enter a third density experience, not erasing the one known as Jesus's personality or being, but coming into the closest possible harmony with that being. There needed to be one who wished to sacrifice an incarnation to the ever-increasing pleasure and agony of the Creator, experiencing what this instrument would call the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Remember, when they say this instrument, they're talking about Carla. For it is the nature of the Christ and the nature of the third density that the two perceiving each other should react. The third density with a lack of understanding, and the Christ with wonder, joy, and sacrifice. Such is the sorrow of your illusion and the joy of sensation and communion. In the end, Jesus, the man, became so able to bear both joy and agony that this entity stopped experiencing the Creator for long periods of time and became the Creator, experiencing third density. Such is the perfect channeling of love. The achievement of the perfect channeling was the mystery of union between Creator and illusion. You know, it's that paragraph that kind of just brought me to attention. And I don't know if it did that for you, but I'll read the line that was just, wow. This entity stopped experiencing the Creator and for long periods of time became the Creator, experiencing third density. So every one of you is an aspect of the Creator, of the one infinite Creator. Every one of you has, it's a potential, you're already there because you're an aspect of that. Do you know with no doubt that you're an aspect? Have you moved into no doubt? Can you tap into the one infinite Creator inside you and use that as a creative force to make your life what you want it to be, but what is the highest life possible for an experience in this realm? Because if you're having a union between Creator and illusion, then that's something quite special. Okay, after this bonding, the burden of channeling rather rapidly began to tire the master teacher Jesus. At the time of the crucifixion, as this instrument calls it, there were almost no tears left. There were no bones unbroken. There was no companionship that had not been betrayed in one form or another. Nevertheless, Jesus the Christ lived well and did not stop the channeling until the breath left the physical vehicle. We witnessed to this this Christ with thanksgiving and joy, not suggesting that any worship or not worship, but celebrating the Creator poured into a channel who could share in full the nature of the Logos, the nature of love, the Creator's powerful, terrible love. You ask what Jesus the Christ would think of the way your people celebrate Christmas. My friends, Jesus is very pleased. He is pleased to see all that is given and received of love, generosity, and cheerfulness. This entity never confused the personal life that he lived with the Christ. He channeled and in the end gave way to completely, but always knew the source and called it Father. Call it what you will. We have no dogma or doctrine, and we celebrate love. It is the Creator who is pleased that all who do celebrate the spiritual advent of light into darkness. Yet the Creator will also celebrate the same event on another level in each of your lives, whatever the season of Christmastide may be, whatever your star beckons. We find that the concentration has caused this instrument to be fatigued more rapidly than usual. Thus, we shall cease speaking through this instrument and attempt to transfer the contact with apologies to the one known as Jim, who is at this moment announcing to us in no uncertain terms, we are making the wrong move. We do not think so. We leave this instrument in love and light, and we shall now transfer. We are quo. This is something I don't think we've ever talked about before that happened with Carla and Jim, that Carla started channeling, and then suddenly Jim would continue, and they would transfer in midstream. This was one of those sessions. Here's Jim channeling. I am Quo and greet each of you again in love and light to finish that which we had begun through the one known as Carla. We have come to the point in our discussion of the one known as Jesus in which we wish to share some information concerning the perceptions which the one known as Jesus would perhaps make upon the patterns and rituals of observing this occasion that is known as Mass of Christ's birth, Christmas. Indeed, within each entity who seeks answers to the mysteries of life, there is a series during which the activities of the entity cease and the focus of attention is pointed inward. The fruitful time in the sense of experience gained is considered within the inner being to be likened as a foundation for that which is to come. Within each entity that seeks these truths of experience, there comes a time when there will be a new beginning. This is often preceded by the you know what? Jim is not holding the energy as well as Carla. I'm moving it as I need it. Do you notice that? But let me see. Let me go down here. Questions asked. What is the name of the entity that gave physical birth to the baby Jesus? I am Quo, and we find that the literal translation of this entity's naming, as you call it, is not possible, but approximated by the sound vibratory complex that is known among your peoples as Mary. May we speak further, my brethren. Jim, from tonight's session, I think I understood that Jesus, before incarnating in third density, chose to incarnate into third density, but somehow was granted the ability not to go through the veiling process that normally third density beings go through prior to incarnation into this dimension. Is this correct? Basically, he's asking here, how come Jesus seems to remember everything and all of us have veiling? I am Quo, and we find that this has correctness to it. Though we see some difficulty in a full explication of the nature of the awareness that was experienced by the one known as Jesus. This entity was able to retain pathways of perception, shall we say, in its incarnate state that were easily activated in a sequential fashion according to the experiences gained throughout the incarnation, so that at a latter point within the incarnation, this entity was able to channel and experience the love of the Father, which you would call the Logos, in a fashion which was in harmonious resonance with the personality, shall we say, of the one known as Jesus. Jim, why is it necessary tonight for the ones doing the channeling to do a deeper state of connection, concentration, shall I say, in order to bring about this channeling? I am Quo. The reasons were two. Firstly, the topic queried upon was one which is central to the incarnational patterns of some within this group. Thus, there was some added risk in the possible infringement of free will. Okay, and what are they saying there? They're saying that the topic is Carla has, I assume they're referring to Carla, but there may be others. Carla has had strong belief patterns relating to Jesus. And if they're going to bring information through and down and through, they cannot violate her belief patterns, okay? Otherwise, it would infringe on her free will. Secondly, the nature of the queries was of a specific enough focus that in order to respond with the appropriate information, there was the necessity of the ones serving as instruments to move to deeper portions of the conscious mind so that less static, shall we say, would be likely to interfere with the concepts being transmuted. You know, on that one there, Terry, are you here? Terry? Colin,
yes,
Terry, are you unmuted? Yeah.
I am.
You know,
I'm here, yes.
I do believe you have that experience yourself, that when you bring through certain kinds of information, you go deeper and you lose the memory of everything you say.
Yeah, I do. It's sometimes like the question, they indicate that I have to go deeper to be able to bring through the information. I have to get my own self and my veil and memory and everything more out of the way and go deeper to access the information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Okay. More questions, Jim. Will there be another incarnation of this entity on the planet Earth? Quo, we find it is not the entity known as Jesus that shall appear again, but the Christed consciousness, which shall move through those of your population which have been prepared for this consciousness. May we speak further, my brother. Jim, I'm a little confused. Can you explain further about a place for this event? Quo, we begin speaking of such preparation in the final portion of the opening message for this evening, when we spoke of those seekers of truth who retire to the inner portions of the self. Terry, you're making noise. To stand upon the foundation of what has been gained of experience and reach for that which is cloaked in mystery, and attempt to bring forth within the incarnational pattern the proper conditions that will allow the same channeling of love which the one known as Jesus accomplished in his life pattern. I dropped out of understanding that particular thing, but I'm not going to read it again. I mean, I know they're talking about that Jesus, Jesus is not going to return to the body. That's what they're saying. But the Christ energy shall move through those of your populations which have prepared a place for this consciousness. Now, maybe they're partially referring to us there, and that we have an energy that moves through us on these calls, and maybe that's what they're talking about. Jim was saying, can you explain further about a place for this? And I don't think they're talking about a place. This ritual celebration, as we call the process, is one which each entity observes in some fashion in this season, during which the birth of the one known as Jesus is celebrated. The process was demonstrated by the incarnation of the one known as Jesus, eventually culminating in the resurrection of the Christ in consciousness within the light pattern of the seekers residing within the third density illusion. Thus, by such seeking, exercise of faith, does the seeker prepare a place within the life pattern for this resurrection, so we say. Okay, that's a very interesting paragraph. They're saying, we have to create a place. We have to create an energy for this to occur, which is what I believe we do on these calls. Okay, may we speak further, my brother? No, think I understand. That's all the questions I have. Thank you. I am Quo, and we thank you, my brother. Are there further queries at this time? H, I have a couple, maybe just one. Immediately after Christ resurrected from the tomb, was his body solid or would it pass through doors like a vapor? You know, the side comment here is that we've had a number of things come up with more data about the resurrection of Christ in some of the personal sessions we've done, which I might mention some other time. So let's see how they answer it. The entity known as Jesus at the time of that known as the resurrection was able to channel the love of the Father to such an extent that it was able to affect the structure of its physical vehicle in a way which filled it with light so that it was able to manifest both the characteristics of your third density illusion, when appropriate, and able to retire its focus of light to the point of being able to move through what you would see as solid material in your third density illusion. May we speak further, my brother? No, that cleared up quite well. And the second question, too. That's all the questions. Thank you. I am Quo, and we thank you. Is there another query at this time? You know what? Let me see if there's anything really more mind-blowing in this. I don't know if it's mind-blowing to you, OK? okay? But it's mind-blowing to me because I feel the energies that move through our group. And many of you feel them. And it's a very unusual phenomenon to feel these energies moving through. And I do believe I can only, I can speculate, but that Jesus had energies that moved through what he did. So it's somewhat of a similar matter. And it's fascinating to me in trying to figure this out and take it in myself to learn about the experience of Jesus. So on that note, Terry, do you have something to add to all of this? You're muted.
I wondered if there could be made a jump where they were talking about the Christ consciousness, people preparing the way for the entry of the Christ consciousness, that Jesus himself could have reincarnated into one of the people that had prepared the Christ consciousness or had prepared his own self for to re-enter a body or a family that had prepared the Christ consciousness way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it came through a couple of places that he had a body in India, right?
Right.
And, but, that's still up for grabs, you know? And would that particular body ever manifest as having been Jesus? I am sure there would be a lot of weighing of all the different kinds of potentials. Well, if we did this, it would be this. But if we did this, everyone would fight over it. And we did this, everyone would say it was a fake. So, you know, they're probably on some higher level kind of evaluating all this stuff and saying yay or nay or whatever, you know. It's probably still under construction. And
right.
I don't know if you remember this, but in the first 6 months with Daphne and the questions I asked, they said there was the potential that Jesus would come into this group, which didn't even exist at the time. And at the time they said it, I said, that is preposterous. You know, how could I be worthy to bring someone like Jesus into this group? Now, they didn't specify whether it would be through channeling or a body, but in retrospect, I can see how this group would probably be able to, how would you say it?
Support the energy?
Support the energy of it in a very real way. Who could have dreamed we would have had Terry Friedman in our group? Who would have ever dreamed that, you know? And, you know, so this is all up for grabs. We'll see where it goes. You know, interestingly enough, somewhere else they said Jesus would come back through channels and talk to people. And I'm kind of evaluating two different sources that I found, and thinking if we're channeling what they say is Jesus, and seeing if I think that I can feel comfortable with that, you know, if it really feels like Jesus. So we'll come back. We might even, you know, if it's close, if I feel that it's close, I might run up by our sources, and then we'll have a Monday session where we play some of that for all of you, because in one of them it was kind of amazing, and it felt very much like it could have been Jesus. I'm going to run it by Terry Friedman, see what he thinks. He was really interested when I told him. So let me open the lines. And remember, I'll let you guys make your comments, but I'm not going to, you know, this is one of those things where you read something like that and you have to say, what's the truth in that? What's the truth? What do I understand? But I was very fascinated with the idea of the one infinite creator, the Logos, that Jesus made a connection and surrendered, sacrificed his own 3D existence at different times to allow himself to be used by the Logos. I thought that was profound. And thus the Father.
All callers are unmuted.
So let's see. Oh, my God, everyone's quiet. That means you all hung up? Or,
no. We're taking it in. We're taking it in.
That means we have a group energy.
We have a group energy. Right.
When?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah.
When?
I hear you.
This is Joni.
Yeah.
I had to read that three times for it to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
But I bawled my eyes out when I read it. It's very deep, and I know it will be appreciated in the future that you have read it to the group.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to be taken lightly.
Are you the one that sent it to me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And well, thank you.
Yeah.
I sort of knew that was going to happen. And I knew you would appreciate it. I knew Terry would appreciate it. That's why I sent it to both of you. That's all I had to say.
Great. Well, thank you. I forgot where I got it. So I give you kudos for having the picking it out. And I think it is really, you know, the biggest thing here is Jesus really was a human. He was a human. And, you know, when you get into the view of thinking of him as a Messiah and a Son of God, we're all sons of God. We are all the one infinite creator, part of us. And it's just a matter of how much can you step to the plate. And when you step to the plate, you may not be met with roaring applause.
That's not important.
At that point, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you die. You can't step to the plate to the extent Jesus did without knowing that you're risking your life. And how they said Jesus was betrayed by the people around him. Didn't I read that there somewhere? And he still held his guns. And anyone else want to make a comment?
Yes, I'd love to make a comment. I am astounded by this. I really am. I'm a Catholic school rat. And I've heard it's that kind of thing since I was in the first day of my first grade school, because mm-hmm. that's what the nun said. But I am astounded and pleasantly agreeable to the idea that someone in a group would be another channel for him. I think it mm-hmm. would be fabulous. So.
Well, we'll see what happens, okay?
Yes, but I can't think of anybody else more appropriate than a few of these people in our group who work so hard at this stuff, at that,
mm-hmm.
that you know, that includes you, and so you and Terry, that you know, we would consider ourselves multi-blessed to be able mm-hmm. to even hear such stuff.
Well,
you know, Jesus, like me and Carla, Jesus is the primary source of my life. Mm-hmm. And I thank him every day, and I say the Jesus prayers every night before I go to sleep, and I just consider myself blessed to have had him that far in my life. But to actually mm-hmm. hear him say something, wow.
Okay.
The end.
Well, you may not have to hold your breath, okay? Just let's see where this goes, okay?
Sure.
Because I think we are setting a stage, and it's the stage is appropriate. It just might happen, okay? Anyone else want to say anything?
Yes,
yes.
I do. Oh.
Go ahead.
Who said yes, I do? Who said yes, I do?
Carola in Okotoks.
Okay, go ahead, Carola.
Okay. I haven't read the Carla Ruckert material, but now for sure I want to read it because, like, in 1981 I experienced, I went to Quebec, which is on the other side of the country, and there was a big mm-hmm. storm, and I woke up and I had this urge to stand up in the middle of the room and put my hands out. And when I did that, this golden river poured in through the top of my head and out through my hands across the country. Mm-hmm. And it was like rumbling through my body. And I didn't know what it was. I mean, it was way bigger than I was. But I knew that it was, you know, from God, and somehow it was healing energy. And so, mm-hmm. of course, I've been, you know, looking for answers and stuff like that. But everything that was read there in what Carla got is stuff that mm-hmm. I've gotten inwardly. So I say that it's right on the money.
Well, the raw material, who's having a party? God, is that John Suborowski?
Got it.
All right, thank you. Yeah, the raw material is amazing, and it's like that is not representative of the raw material. It really isn't. It was like, that was like out of the box, okay? Because the raw material, if I say, is like, keep in mind, you have this group soul that's working with our planet for millions of years, and the raw material goes through the history of the Earth. And it's huge. It's a huge perspective. Go on Amazon and look at some of the comments people have made about the raw material. And my take, they never said this, or hardly ever. They may have said it, but the implication was that the raw group had played a great part in the connection with Jesus. And that there were, I discovered lots and lots of things indicating that. And you know what? We got to get off the call. It's 7:57. we have to give it back to BBS. But thank you all so much for letting me go through that. And thank you, Joni, for sending it to me. And thank you, Ra and Elohim. And thank you, Jesus. Okay. For, you know, Jesus, what Jesus did had to be a free will choice on his part. Had to be. You can't, no one's going to push you into that. And I think when I realized that, you realize how much gratitude we have for that guy. Okay? So we will see you next time. See you Wednesday. And
thank you, Lynn.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Love you all. Bye.